State lawmakers will gavel in their 2020 session on Monday as Governor Ducey delivers his annual State of the State address. In advance of the new session, we'll hear from a pair of legislative leaders about their priorities and those of their caucuses. We start with Senate President Karen Fann of Prescott. Our co-host Mark Brody spoke with her in her office just off the Senate floor and asked what she thinks is the biggest issue the legislature will be taking up this year.
Budget. That's the only thing that we are constitutionally required to do. And so that's our number one priority, is get the budget done and get our work done and get out.
And you've been working on the budget for a little while now. What have you heard? What have you been doing so far?
We started on it last September, and what we have been doing these last few months while we're out of session is the appropriations chair, vice chair, and leadership in both the House and the Senate. What we're working on, I call it the backbone of the budget, meeting with all of the department heads from all the different agencies to find out what their ask and their needs are, what problems are out there that we need to look at fixing that might take money in the budgets. A lot of that is so time consuming, and it's virtually impossible to get 90 members all to be a part of that. So what we do is we try and get all of that done so we can take that to the members and say, okay, here's the backbone. This is how we came up with it. Are you okay with this, or do you want us to tweak this before we move to the next step?
Have there been any surprises so far in terms of what you've heard or particular asks?
No surprises at all. We know that, obviously, because you and the media have been reporting so well, as you know, education's our number one priority in the budget. We've made commitments. We've made promises. We are going to keep those promises, and we're hoping to even do better than our promises. And then, of course, corrections, the issues, you know, with the jail locks and things like that, that is at the top of our priorities as well.
Let me ask you about K-12 education. And I'm curious, you know, we've heard in the past there's been a lot of talk about teacher pay and about things like class sizes. I'm curious, what, in terms of funding, what are the priorities to get money to this year?
Well, obviously, we have that last piece of that 20 by 20 by 20, which would be that last piece of teachers' raises that will kick in to give them that full 20%. And we are certainly hoping that the local school boards will follow suit with what we have asked them to do with this money. So those are number one important. The next thing we are looking at, obviously, is if we have additional monies besides what we've already been looking at for the district assistants, the classroom monies, looking at monies, do we have money available to be able to put into school renewal? So whether it's actually fixing buildings or building a new school, those are our top priorities this year.
When you look at the budget and the extra money that is sitting around, I know you don't like the word surplus, so I won't call it that, but extra money that the state has brought in, obviously some of that is one time, some of that is ongoing. When you look at an area like K-12, how do you sort of differentiate, okay, we can do this, but maybe not this because it doesn't fall into the right category?
Right. So obviously the raises, and remember, these aren't just raises for the teachers and the staff members, but everybody has to remember there's also this thing called labor burden on top of it. So as those raises go up, we are required as taxpayers to put more into the retirement funds. Insurance premiums are going up, as we all are seeing that. So it isn't just about raises. It's also about all the other stuff. And all that has to be in the ongoing. So that's going to be the biggest chunk of any money, of ongoing money that we actually have to work with, the biggest chunk of it. So the majority of the other stuff we'll be doing is going to be more like one-time funding, which is okay, because when you have, this is like getting a Christmas bonus from your boss. This is like, you know, you win the lottery, you come into some extra money that you didn't plan on, but you know it's only going to be one time. You cannot count. And that's the time that you look at things like repairing that hole in your roof, or, you know, buying that new vehicle that you've been putting off because the other one's, you know, been breaking down. And that's what we'll be using that one-time money for.
I would imagine there are going to be a lot of competing requests for not only the extra money, but just sort of the general money in the budget. When you look at K-12, you look at DOC, the Department of Correction, two really big spends in the budget. What else might be getting some money? What else maybe could use some money, but maybe there won't be quite enough to do everything?
Well, there's never enough money. No matter how good the economy is, there's never enough money. So consequently, we will be looking at that possibility of perhaps additional raises for public safety and the corrections officers. They are still way behind the curve. We gave them a little bit last year that we were able to squeak out. but we know that it was not near enough to be able to handle the 10 years that they have gotten nothing. So that's going to be a big, important issue. There's always issue. A higher ed, you know, they're asking for combined about $1 billion. I might be exaggerating a little bit there, but not so much. So there's always going to be a lot of requests for a lot of money for anything and everything. And obviously, there's never enough to go around.
One of the other issues that's been getting a lot of attention, especially during the interim between sessions, is short-term rentals in terms of Airbnb, VRBO, things like that. What would you like to see in terms of a compromise or some kind of middle ground to allow that kind of enterprise, but also make sure that communities have enough housing, have the kind of rents that really fit for them?
Well, okay, so I'm speaking more as a personal level than the Senate president level, but you're also dealing with somebody that was a three-term mayor of one community and a vice mayor of another community. So local control has a big important part in my heart, but there is that fine line between what is local control that the cities and towns and counties should have versus what is statewide control. So, and this is one of those issues that kind of bucks up against both of those. So on one hand, I am all in favor of, you know, free market. Why shouldn't grandma be able to rent her house out for a month if she wants to go visit the kids? But we don't have the guidelines, those guardrails, to make sure that things don't go off the rails. And that's what's happened. We saw the huge amount of party houses that started going on and the destruction. It started happening in neighborhoods, so we had to ratchet that down. We are seeing another problem going on, and I personally think it totally connects with the fact that our cities and towns, their hands have been tied with being able to enforce their planning and zoning and their private property versus the commercial property ruling. So consequently, we have neighborhoods that are zoned as single-family residential. And now all of a sudden we're allowing a house there that is actually, this is going on in Sedona. There is a house literally being built with eight bedrooms with eight separate entrances and one center living room and great room and kitchen for the sole purpose. And the people that are building it will tell you, yes, this is for an Airbnb. So I think that's where we need to help zone this down a little bit on it.
One of the other issues that people have been talking about is water. You guys obviously passed the drought contingency plan last year. It's an issue that you have been working on for quite a while. In your mind, are there more water-related issues that need to be dealt with this year, either short-term or long-term?
There's always going to be water issues in Arizona. Now, whether we're going to have anything directly in this year's session, I do not believe so. I have not heard of anybody. But that doesn't mean that ADWR and all of the stakeholders in all the areas, we are still meeting and we meet frequently to keep moving forward with the drought contingency plan. That was just a start. We have so much work to do. So I don't think you'll see it this year, but possibly next year. And of course, every year after that, it'll be an ongoing effort.
2020 is obviously an election year, both on the national level and here. I mean, you guys are all up for re-election or running for something else, most of you anyway. I'm wondering how you think that will impact what happens down here. It seems like every 2 years, things can get a little bit, a little bit funky down here.
You are absolutely right. And I think this year is going to be worse than the normal years, right? We obviously there is a lot going on the national level, and the fact that it is a presidential election, the fact that we do have a Senate seat that is on the ballot. So there's going to be a lot of money dumped in from outside sources outside of the state. And with that comes those ugly independent expenditure ads on TV, the attacks, the mailers. I hate the way politics have gotten this day. As president, I'm going to try everything I possibly can to try and keep that off of the floor. I have told all of our members that, you know, our job, we should get in here, get our jobs done, and get out of here as quickly as we can. Because the longer we're here, the more it's going to get ratcheted up and heated up, and there's going to be a lot of very, very hateful things that's going to be said. And sometimes you can't come back from that, depending on what happens.
All right, that's Arizona Senate President Karen Fan. Madam President, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
And tomorrow we'll hear from House Minority Leader Charlene Fernandez of Yuma.